and versa number 13.
Second Colossians, I mean, Colossians chapter number 2. Look.
Before we get started, I do want to say something here. I've got to call this evening just a little. Here we go.
Second Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. Goodness, are you all there yet? Okay, forget it. I'll say it again. We'll start with verse number 13. Are you ready? Okay. And you, everybody say me. Being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. So we ended this morning dealing with circumcision of the flesh of the Old Testament, of the Spirit of the New Testament, that being baptism. And so in conjunction with that, we pull from there. Paul goes into verse number 13, and he said, and you, that's me, being dead to sins, being dead in my sins, and uncircumcised in your flesh. He said, I'm talking to those of you who have been washed, been baptized in Jesus' name, yet you are uncircumcised in your flesh. Because you got to understand, they weren't Jews that he was preaching to. He was preaching to the Gentiles, and they were uncircumcised. They didn't have the covenant of Abraham. So he says, I'm preaching to you who've been baptized in Jesus' name, yet you're not circumcised in your flesh because you aren't Jews. He, here in the scripture, is Jesus, has made us alive, even together, put us together, and forgiven us of all our sins. That word quickened has bound us together or made us alive together with Jesus Christ. And then he jumps right from there because we see the very next verse is not a capital letter. So he's continuing on with the thought. So we're dead in our sins, uncircumcised in our flesh, but he's quickened us together and he's forgiven us of our sins, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. There was a ton of law that was written against your sin. You were condemned. You were going to be put to death because the law said so. But Jesus snatched it right up. He snatched up that law that was against you, that had you facing the death penalty. He snatched it up and he nailed it to the cross. Oh, hallelujah. He nailed it to the cross so we would not have to pay that death penalty. And verse number 15, and having, again, he continues on in this thought, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. It was here that Jesus spoiled, or the word in the Greek is to disarm. The Lord Jesus Christ disarmed every principality. That principality in the original meant every rule of law. So he disarmed every rule of law and power, which was authority. He disarmed all rule of law and all authority, and made an example for all to see. He made an example, that shoe, of them openly. He made it an example for all to see. Now, you ain't getting excited about this yet, but I'm fixing to turn your wheelbarrow over. Amen. Or you're going to get your squeegee caught in your suspenders and get excited here in a minute. triumphing, the scripture said, over. Triumphing is to sing songs and having a celebration in a festival procession. Amen. Them in it. What is them in it? What is them? Our sins and the law that was written against us. Jesus is having a parade for all to see, so everybody knows what he's done for you. He's having a festival time. Amen. Another, the Greek word means a noisy, joyous, fanatical victory procession. Did you get that? He said, we're going to have a noisy, joyous, fanatical victory procession over all your sin. Do you realize that a Roman, when they had this triumph parade type of deal, when a general would seize or take captive those of another army, that he would be in front and he would parade down the main street for all to see of everything that he conquered. But it wasn't just that. He would take his sons. The generals of sons would be behind him also. And the only they were in the battle, they were in the fight, but because they were related to the general, they walked behind him in triumph, in victory over their enemy. It was only a relationship by blood. So my general Jesus Christ, amen, has given me victory over sin, over the penalty of death. He snatched it up, slammed it on the cross, and he said, hey, it's time to have a victory parade. It's time to make some noise. Amen. And I'm walking behind him because I've been bought by his blood. I've been cleansed by his blood. I didn't have to fight. He was the one that was victorious over sin, over death, over hell. And I now am victorious because of him. I am victorious because of him. Let me tell you that the Bible may say that Satan is as a roaring lion. Let me remind you here that he's as a roaring lion. But I'm going to tell you the reality is he jerked the fangs right out of that lion. He may still have a roar, but he ain't got a bite. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? He ripped the teeth right out of the enemy of your soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians. There we go. That's the right word. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 14 is the only other place in the New Testament that the word triumph is used. And it says, oh God, it says, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Oh, hallelujah. We are thanking God with song, with a noisy festival, a festive procession, which openly makes a show, which makes it talks even, it just causes us to triumph. It makes what was hidden visible and realized. I was a miserable wreck. I was undone. I was bound by sin and shame and covered with guilt and condemnation. But God revealed something in my life. He made visible something in my life that nobody else could see. He made it become a realization that I was not. Hallelujah. He took all my sins away. He made it all.
life which was hidden because of sin and darkness and shame has now been brought to life in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
It's been realized. It's been visibly made known to everybody. And now my life is a sweet smelling savor unto God. Amen. Unto Christ. And then it said, of his knowledge by us in every place. Oh, just it is because. And what have we been talking about? It's all in him. We are complete in him. Again, he brings it back in. It's because of him that we're having a parade. And the band is playing. And there's a tune of victory in the house. Because I once was lost in sin. But Jesus. But Jesus. Have given us the victory. And so it's just like Jesus, and don't get me wrong when I use this example, but it's just like Jesus. I'm going to be Jesus for just a second, but I'm before Jesus. I promise you. I ain't nothing like him. But Jesus takes that man that was bound with alcohol. Jesus takes that man that was bound by nicotine. Jesus takes that man that had been dependent on antidepressants. Oh, hallelujah. And he starts having a parade. I said he starts having a parade. He said, oh, he believed in a Trinity. But I showed up and I told him about my goodness and my mercy. And you know what? So again, I'm a bad Jesus, so please forgive me. And just using this as an example. So, I'm Jesus, and we start having a parade. And we start walking around, we start making a bunch of noise for everybody to see.
Right.
Yeah. And then it affects him, and he gets in line. And it affects him, because a parade ain't no fun with just one. And he said, look what I did. Look what I did. Look what I did. You see what I got? You see what I got? You see what I delivered? You see what I set free? You see who's no longer bound? You see that who I am no longer guilty? You don't see any shame here? You see somebody who set free? Who set free? Who saw my spirit?
Lord,
I ain't got the devil. He said, you know what? I ain't
Jesus wants us to have a victory march, a victory parade over what he has done for us. Read to us again.
Jesus.
And you, being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, have he quickened. He made you alive with him and has forgiven you of all of your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against you, which was contrary to you, and took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. I don't want you to ever look at this scripture with just a haphazard eyes, but I want you to see it come alive. I want you to see what God really did. He said, no, 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 no. I really mean what I said. You're not guilty. You're not guilty. You're not guilty. I nailed it to the cross. He likes to show off, because that's why he said having a triumphant, that's why the word used was triumphant. He wanted to make a parade and show off.
Yeah.
Look what I've done.
Yeah. Right.
And what our duty is to go look what he's done. Look what he's done. Look what I've done. He's bragging on you, and you need to brag on him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he done. That's what he did for me. We need to tell everybody everywhere we go what the Lord has done.
Yeah. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes,
and then it switches gears just a few minutes or just a little bit after that. In verse 16, he switches gears a little bit and he said, let no man therefore judge you in meat and drink, or in respect of a holy day, or a new moon, or of the Sabbath, because of all that we have in Christ through this covenant, you cannot go back and rest in the law. You cannot go back and depend on religious traditions for your righteousness.
Right.
Right. Amen.
That's what he's saying. And so do you understand? He just comes off of this high, telling them this is what God's done for you. So don't ever go back to these things.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
Don't depend on those. But it's so easy for us to do so.
Right.
The Gentiles in Colossae had never been under Moses' law. But now, this is crazy. But now that the gospel of Jesus Christ has come to them, now they're willing to embrace it. And you got to ask the question, why? You got to be kidding me. Here the gospel comes to them, grace comes to them in a phenomenal way, and they want to reach back into Moses' law. They want to start obeying holy days and new moons and rituals and this and that and the other. Because, and I'm going to tell you why. Because the flesh is weak.
That's right.
Hear me now. Because the flesh is weak. And it comes when it comes to doing spiritual things. The flesh is weak, but it's strong when it comes to practicing religious rules and rituals. Because it's something you can do.
Yeah. Right.
It's something you can, but it's not easy to be spiritual.
Come on. Right.
So they reach back. Oh, God have mercy. They reach back and tried to grab something that they could attain. And they could say, okay, I can cross that T. I can dot that I. I can walk that line. Because it says, I can't eat this. And I can't go here. And I have to do this. And I have to do that. And so they reach back into religious rites and rituals.
That's good.
because the flesh is weak. And when you're not spiritual, that's exactly what you do. That's exactly what I do. When we're not spiritual, we lean on the strong arm of the flesh and say, well, I'm still dressing this way, and I don't have this in my home, and I don't do this, and I don't go there.
Yeah,
right.
That ain't going to get you nowhere. It's all that. It's religious rites and rituals. It's not spiritual.
Amen.
Right.
Legalism is popular. Why? Because you can measure it.
Anybody remember me preaching about getting a measuring tape out?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Legalism is popular because you can measure it. And you can brag about it.
Right. Yeah.
You can proclaim you're better than someone else and that you're more spiritual.
Right. Right.
Because you don't do this and because you don't do that. You know what? The only thing you've done is proven that Pharisees still haven't died. And they're alive and well and they're in the church.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
So let me preach to some Pharisees and maybe I can get you converted to the love, the mercy, and the grace of Jesus Christ. And get the legalism out the door and start believing and become complete in Jesus Christ and live spiritually and not reach back into the law.
Yeah.
And some of you are going, what? Just hang with me. The power of the Holy Ghost does not restrain the desires of the flesh.
Right.
That's right. It retrains.
Yeah.
It retrains desires. I once wanted this, but when I got the Holy Ghost, it retrained and redirected my desires not to want and not to desire the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
But the Holy Ghost just didn't say, no, you can't have, no, you can't touch, no, you can't go. He said, no, let's redirect some desires and continue to give you fulfillment in your life. You see, that's what happens with legalism. We got to take this and don't do this and don't go here and don't have that. And then they don't have anything to replace.
Yeah,
right, man.
There's nothing to replace these things. So instead of restraining it, let's retrain it and get our desires towards the things of God where we can be fulfilled and complete in Him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh,
hear me now, hear me now, hear me now. We don't need law on the outside because we have life on the inside.
Yes, sir.
Somebody thinking, oh, he's not going to preach on standards no more. He ain't going to preach on this no more. I'm going to preach on it. I just ain't going to preach on it in the service. Because I'm going to tell you what, I have learned, and Brother Dan is a good example of this, that if you get people full of the Holy Ghost, and you get people full of Jesus, you'll go home from a Holy Ghost service, and you'll sit in front of an idiot box, and you'll go, ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, so
why are we doing this?
What are we doing?
Yeah.
Man, what? You know what? Pastor didn't have to say, don't do. Pastor didn't have to say, you can't. Pastor didn't have to say, don't go. Don't touch. Don't look. No, the presence of the Holy Ghost, the life on the inside, started working in such a tremendous way that all of a sudden it sprung out on the outside and said, that's not healthy for what's on the inside. So you got to go. And out the door it goes. Amen. And it's something on the inside when we get full of life and the Spirit of God. We look at our clothes and you say, you know what? That don't look right. That's not going to be godly. That's not going to betray holiness. That's not going to betray the God that's on the inside of me. And I'm not going to save it for a rainy day. But I'm going to get rid of it because Jesus is on the inside. And He's working. No, I'm not going to quit preaching because we cannot or on the inside makes us desire holy living, righteous living. It wants us, it makes us, it drives us to purity. It makes us shun wicked darkness. It pushes away that life on the inside. Life on the inside makes us walk right. Makes us talk right. Makes us look right. Makes us dress right. Makes us live right.
I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that.
I understand. Guess what you need to do? Get it on the inside. Enough to where it starts coming on the outside. We preached it here last Sunday. I poured water all over the place right here in front of the pulpit. Come on. We got to get so full of the Spirit that it doesn't just fill up our cup, but it starts to flow over and it affects everything we do.
This is coming out of the book of Colossians. This is coming all out of the book of Colossians,
where the church was fussing, but struggling with false doctrine, was struggling with all these things, and Paul deals. And see, this is the part we dealt with already, some of the Gnosticism and some of the Eastern philosophy, and it kind of intermingles. But this is where he really starts to deal with Jewish legalism.
This is where he starts to deal with it,
because he talks about the new moons. He talks about all of the different things. Where's my scripture? He talks about the certain meats and drinks and respect of holy days and new moons and Sabbath days. He starts talking about that, and that was that part of that religious ritualism.
Well, we can look at this and say, and we can point our fingers and show where they did this wrong and that wrong, but I'm here to tell you tonight, we are no different.
Oh yeah.
We are no different. We have the same problem that the church of Colossae did. We lean on the strong arm of our flesh instead of leaning on Him with all of our weight. Some of y'all forgot that preaching. Maybe I'll just preach it all over again. Verse 17 said, so it's still in conjunction with the last scripture, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Why are those same shadows of things to come? The meat, the drink, the holy day, the new moon, the Sabbath days, blah, 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 and all that stuff. It's a shadow because Jesus Christ has now come, and He is the light. And He's making those things a mere shadow, because that's what you did have to do in the Old Testament. But when the light came in and all the picture, oh God have mercy. When Jesus Christ showed up, those rituals, those Sabbath days, those holy days, those you can't, don't touch, don't do, blah, 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 became mere shadows because of the brightness of Jesus Christ. When He came into your life, oh hallelujah, life to you now.
Yes.
And so now those things are mere shadows. Oh, hallelujah. I